Blog Talk Radio.
Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the
by the Unknown Radio Network, consisting of the very best selection of paranormal internet radio shows anywhere on the web. You can find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/Unknown Radio Network.
Terrify Radio. I am one of your hosts, Kevin of Unknown Paranormal, and joining me, my other host is Miss Jody Parks. Hey, Jody.
Hello. How are you?
I am good. How are you?
Good. 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 Yeah.
So how things been going in your neck of the woods?
You know, I actually just while my son was in the hospital, this nurse was telling me about her friend that owns this, it's called the House of Plenty, and, you know, that it's been haunted, and it's, like, in a book, and, but nobody's, like, really, really investigated it, you know? They've done stuff, but I don't think there's anything, like, really been documented on it. But, so I went in there on Sunday, and I didn't get any EVPs, but I heard a lot of, you know, like, creaking in the house. So I don't know if it's just the house and that, you know. It's a cute place, and I actually left a piece of equipment there, so I'm going to go back, and I'm going to do another EVP session. But the owner had great stories about it, and so I put together a little video. I haven't released it yet, but it's about the ghost stories of House of Plenty. So I found a new little place for me. So that's always fun, you know. What you got going on? Anything wonderful, exciting?
Right now, I'm kind of in a break until next month with the team. So, trying to get some new recruits. Maybe possibly taking some of them out this weekend to a cemetery just to kind of show them what we're about and get some new blood into the group and get ready for our investigation next month in the sanatorium. Still back and forth with the hospital, trying to nail that down. What else? Still working on my conference, the East Texas Ghost Con 2013, trying to get some more details worked out with that.
Do you have your commercial still for it?
No, that was last year's. I'm going to get my friend Jeff, he's going to make me a new commercial for it. I made one last year, and he didn't like it, and he remade it and took mine off the studio. So instead of me farting around with it, I said, to hell with it, I'll just have him do it. So as soon as he gets that made, we'll start playing that, try to get some ticket sales. Everybody seems to wait till the last minute, and it's just like it stresses me out because what they don't realize is the money – that they use to buy the tickets, I turn around and use it to pay bills like hotel rooms for speakers, speaker fees, all that stuff. So, yeah, the sooner people buy tickets, the less I'm going to have gray hair.
Right. Well, that sucks. We don't want you to go gray over it.
But other than that's pretty much it. Just been doing a lot of cool radio interviews. Who did we have Sunday? Oh, man. I hope sometime that her schedule works out where I can get her on Tuesdays. The only reason she didn't do Tuesday right now is on Tuesday she doesn't have anybody to watch her seven-month-old. So it's hard for her to do radio interviews. But I had Sarah Harmon on the show Sunday, and I'm telling you, I got to get you two hooked up. This woman is the shit. Very smart individual and very strong woman. And she's into psychology and parapsychology and been writing papers and different things. And I'm just telling you, Lee Triana Brown helped host the show with me because one co-host I knew about wasn't going to be there, and the other one, he disappeared on me. So I was left without a co-host, so Lee came in and filled in, and she was even just beside herself the amount of information that Sarah was talking about, you know. And I try to do that a lot for your show, Jody, is bring on women in the paranormal field, you know, strong women, and show everybody that it's not a male-dominated field anymore. You there? But yeah, so I guess, how did you get on hold there?
Huh?
Oh, somehow you ended up on hold.
No, I got the boot, man. I got kicked out.
Oh.
Like I had to call back
in. Oh, I see that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got the boot.
But what I was saying to recap everything real quick was...
Yeah, please.
I had Lee Triana Brown co-host with me Sunday because my co-hosts were elsewhere. And
right.
Lee was even beside herself the amount of information that Sarah shared with us and the amount that she's trying to do to help the field. She got into talking about quantum physics a little bit. And I was like, wow. I don't know about you, but
is that
myself,
kind of a turn on for you?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
A woman that's got some intelligence Woo. But,
yeah.
Yeah, very, very very sweet, very conversational, and I'm definitely gonna work on trying to get her on this show because you'll be pumped when you listen to her talk.
Cool. Well,
yeah.
If it works out, it'll work out.
That's right. But
yep.
We still have some cool guests next month.
Mm-hmm.
The month is one that I'm hoping you'll really enjoy because it's Alexandria Holzer, and I interviewed her 2 years ago, and she's the great-granddaughter of Hans Holzer, who's written, tons of paranormal books.
Mm-hmm.
One of the very first paranormal investigators as far as the field is concerned. You know, you always
right.
hear John Zappas is the godfather of paranormal. Well, Hans Holzer was doing it before John was. And so she is a very intelligent woman and trying to carry on her family's legacy. So I'm looking forward to that one as well. And next week we have a rebook. We have Miss Kathy Nance is going to be on the show. Last time, remember, her husband was taken
yeah.
to the emergency room. So she was
yeah.
gracious enough to be booked. So we're going to have Kathy on. And you're going to love Kathy. She's so funny.
Yeah, I can't wait.
So
very
that's,
cool.
That's pretty much it. And, of course, tonight I'll go ahead and talk about him real quick. And then whenever he gets a signal, he will call in. And let me pull up the episode notes here. We have Mr. Brandon Garrett. And Brandon was born and raised in East Texas, which, you know, that's where I'm at, East Texas. So while spending several years in the mountains of Colorado, he had his first Bigfoot sighting at the age of 7 and has
wow.
been researching subject of Bigfoot and all things paranormal and unexplained ever since. Now at the age of 37, he has had 6 sightings under his belt and several more encounters. His major interests include cryptozoology, nature, herpetology, ghost physics, philosophy, and survivalism.
Holy
and
hell.
Brandon is a little bit different from say Ken Gerhardt or some of the others because of the fact he's not a cryptozoologist. He's actually a part of a Bigfoot team. And
mm-hmm.
if you remember correctly, it was several months ago when we had Bruce Barricrow on the show
mm-hmm.
out in New York. And Bruce hooked me up with Brandon because Brandon operates a chapter of Bruce's Bigfoot organization down here in Texas. So,
okay.
Brandon's going to be speaking at the East Texas Ghost Con. He's going to bring his whole crew, his whole Bigfoot hunting team. So,
nice.
You know, some of the others we've talked to that kind of do research on their own, they might, you know, pair up with some other cryptozoologists. But Brandon and his team, you know, they're in fact out in the field as we speak right now in the woods. So he's going to be calling live from the field in a very, very active Bigfoot area here in Texas. I know exactly where he's at, but I cannot reveal the location because he doesn't want a ton of people going and flooding in there, and then they can't, you know, do their research.
Right. Yeah.
So maybe we'll get Bigfoot on the air.
You know, it's going to be me that finds them.
Hey, if we get Bigfoot to make a noise or something while we're on air, Jody, you and I will become famous because our radio show will be the only one that actually has Bigfoot caught on air.
You're funny. I love it. Yeah. Oh my god.
Have you ever heard back from 2020 when they're going to air your shit?
No, I have not. You know, as soon as the bombing happened,
yeah,
that's taken up the freaking news now. So she said that she would let me know. And it could be 6 months. They could wait to air it, like, you know.
Halloween time.
It was Halloween, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know. I don't know. But I was listening to the EVPs of that last night. Oh, my God. So the guy didn't know it was the Queen of Burps. And so, like, we were down in the slaughterhouse, and I said to my son, I don't think he, like, he doesn't know that I'm the Queen of Burps. I was like, I think I'm like, should I burp and, like, freak him out? And he was like, yeah, do it. So I did, and I scared the dude so bad. And the producer said that, she said she watched it, like, for 10 minutes straight. She kept rewinding it because his whole body, like, shook in fear. So I got him pretty good. He was pretty freaked out. I'm so ornery, you know, with that. Like, I love to just bust that out on people when they least expect it and scare them.
They don't expect something like that to come out of such a small body, you know?
Yeah.
So when it comes out of you, it's almost like, holy shit, a damn demon just jumped out.
Right? It's pretty ferocious at times. That one on air the other night with, God, what was her name? Holy
Morgan?
Yes. The one that I ripped for her, that was a really awesome one. Like, I'm going to give my self credit for that. It was pretty damn good. Pretty damn good.
Oh, I'm having your girl, Miss Natalie Poole, that we had on our show. She's going to be on my show this Sunday.
Nice.
Yeah, so I'm going to see...
Yeah, let me know, like, what she's got her little paws in, because I'd love to hear about it, you know? I mean, shit, but it's been, like, 8 months since we interviewed her, so I'm sure she's probably accomplished a lot since then, I would hope. Right?
Right.
With her research and what she was doing. Like, they were building equipment and stuff, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And I want to find out, since we talked to her, you know, how that's come along.
Yeah.
And Martin, one of my co-hosts, he is all about tech. He helps Jeremy build equipment, and Martin builds. I got a few of his pieces of equipment that Martin's built. I got an ion generator that you plug into a wall outlet, and boy, whew, it puts out some ions. It recreates lightning. As far as what lightning does to the air, it charges the air. And I've had some really good success with it. I've plugged it into a room, left the room, come back, and just had crazy paranormal activity with it.
Nice. Hey, have you seen that movie, The Awakening?
Yeah.
Was that not, like, cute, the stuff that she was using?
Yeah.
Like, did you notice how, like, the old-time paranormal equipment that she was using, the light that was more like a, it was like a torch lamp that she was running around with as the flashlight?
It's pretty cool.
I just saw it for the first time the other day, so I was like, oh, a woman ghost hunter in the 1920s. I like it.
Yeah, you know,
I know you don't watch all the shows on television. I, of course, do, just because it's entertaining. I kind of want to see what's going on, mainly to see if any new equipment pops up on television, because I always like to see that. And I don't normally knock shows, but I'm going to knock this one just a little bit. And it's a new one. That's why I'm knocking it.
Let's go.
It's tough. Because I'm in the South, right? And this show is called Deep South Paranormal. And
right.
Of course, the guys on there, I'm not bashing the guys. You know, they're trying to do their thing, but just the way the show is set up and the concept of it, it's almost like. Of course, you hadn't seen this show, but people out there know the show. It's one of the number one shows on A&E. It's kind of the combination of Dynasty meets Ghost Hunters, you know? And
yeah. I haven't seen it yet. I haven't watched it, but I have heard about it. And, you know, whatever.
They're reaching now for stuff, you know, and it really, in a way, For us in the South, it kind of shows us as these redneck, bearded, living out in the swamp people, you know, type folks. You know, this one guy, the last episode, of course, he's from Louisiana, so he's into that voodoo stuff as well. And he said for protection, he wanted to get some frog's breath. And his partners were like, what in the hell? And they were catching frogs to cook. And he picked up a live frog and stuck it halfway in his mouth and sucked the breath out of it and then blew the breath into a test tube. He was sucking on frogs that are alive.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So, you know, for us that are down here in the South, we don't all suck on frogs, people. I just want to throw that out there. Don't believe everything that's on TV.
Too many frogs.
Oh, and I believe we have our guest on, so let's put him on the air here. Brandon, you with us?
I sure am.
How you doing,
man?
Can
you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
How are you?
Oh, I'm pretty good. How about yourselves?
Good. So you're actually at a location tonight?
Yeah. I'm at a location right now.
Yeah, how's it going? How long have you been there?
I've been here since Sunday.
Wow.
Got here Sunday evening. Probably won't be leaving until either tomorrow or the next day.
So how's it been going?
Things were pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Have you had any things going on out there? You still there?
Uh-oh.
We already lost him. He'll call back. Yeah, I'm not the only one with a Texas accent on the show tonight.
You're always bringing me Texas people. Nothing wrong with that, though. Y'all are crazy son of bitches, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're pretty crazy. I think he's back, so let's put him back on here. All right.
Sorry about that.
It's all right.
Yeah. I'm back. That'll probably happen quite a few times. So I'm like, where I'm at, I have almost no phone signal, so I guess I found a spot that seemed to pick up the best I could.
So have you had anything since you've been there? Have you had any activity going on?
Well, Sunday night was kind of interesting. We had a couple other guys with us. Buddy Lupe comes out with me quite often. And Buddy Shane, this is his first time out. Well, we're getting a lot of activity around the camp. We spent most of the day running around in the woods and stuff. And then we got back out in this other area. Another camp for same area, but another camp further down. That was on the road. Had a lot of strange stuff happening up there. We're out there kind of walking around, seeing what's going on. Set up some corners and stuff. And parked over.
I'm barely hearing you.
You barely hear me?
Yeah.
See, is that any better?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we set out some recorders, went down this one road, then walked back. Walking down this one trail, a couple of us stayed by the truck. Three others of us walked down this trail. It's probably around 10, 11 at night.
Uh-huh.
We got to a point and called radioed back at the base and let them know where we're at. And they said, well, I'm seeing some weird lights somewhere. You know, is that y'all? No, we're on the other side. So we're like, okay, well, we turned around and came back. Walked back up there to where they're at. So we don't see them. Well, they pointed out, you know, where they're seeing it. And we all saw it. This weird light. Just kind of there. Not too far from where we went in, but on the opposite side. We kind of fade in and out. What is this? You know? I walk back down there. See if we can see anything. We never could see anything when we get down there.
I'm losing you again.
Okay. Maybe my phone. Maybe this will still help.
You there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Wow. Yeah, it was getting, you were fading out a little bit. Yeah, a lot better.
Okay. Move my phone.
So
we just
saw,
spot there.
You saw it.
Okay.
You saw, right?
Well, we walked back down to where we're seeing this and trying to figure out what we were seeing. And could find anything. We couldn't see it when we were over there. But we've been having the same kind of thing happen there in this.
And he was
so Kevin was saying that you had your first sighting when you were 7 years old.
Damn.
Uh-oh. Let me lose him like as soon as I ask him a question.
Yeah. And he was coming in so much better and so much clearer. Yeah, he was coming in so much clearer.
This is not going to be good.
Oh. We'll deal with it.
He'll do something.
Yeah,
he has his own radio show as well, so he knows how it is to be a host.
Right. Cool.
Yeah, we'll have to ask him about the paranormal as well, because he's into, when I told him about the investigations at the conference, he's like, hell yeah, I want to go investigate. And I'm sitting there going, thinking the opposite. I'm like, hell, I want to go Bigfoot hunting.
Right? I'm doing it this summer.
Well, Brandon's gonna come up because he comes up my way a lot. So I'm sitting in an area that has a lot of Bigfoot activity, and he's already said him and I are gonna go out and check it out, because I got to take him to this one place where I had a Bigfoot experience.
Yeah,
it was. There's this road called Stagecoach Road. It's outside of Marshall, Texas, and it's the only piece of road. It's a dirt road that ran from Shreveport, Louisiana, all the way to, oh, and I think we have him back. I'll continue this story in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Brandon, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Looks like a love.
Wow.
Yeah.
Probably going to happen a few times. Looking at
all right,
my phone,
well,
I have
just asked you a question, and then
oh, really?
So I was asking you. Kevin said that at 7 years old was the first time that you had a sighting of Bigfoot.
Right. Yeah, I was seven.
Yeah. What happened with that?
Well,
so I can get caught up to date on you.
Okay. All right. Well, where we lived, where I lived as a kid,
mm-hmm.
There was a state park, like almost directly across the street from the subdivision I lived in. And there was just a lot of woods all the way around. Well, we used to go out to that park all the time. I mean, it was kind of like where we'd go and, you know, all the time, probably
right.
Almost every day we're out there. Well, we knew stuff was going on out there, because my dad's been doing this for, you know, God knows how many years, him and my uncle. So, you know, they all knew what was going on. They've tracked them into there before. We'd go out
right.
there, and I used to go with them. Well, one day we were just out there. You know, it was just me, my mom, my dad, my brother, and my sister. Well, we're just out there walking down one of the roads that's in there. And I was riding my bike, and they were walking. I was up ahead of them, and saw this, you know, over in the side. You know, so I'm on the road on my bicycle, and there was this clearing in the edge of the woods there. Probably about 50 yards. And there was this large, hairy, black hairy guy standing there. And I'm like, what the, you know? You know, at seven, I'm like freaking out. I said, Dad,
yeah.
Like, hairy man over here, Dad, hairy man over here. He's like, what? So he comes running up there to where I'm at. And we both saw it turn around and go back into the woods there. But it was just standing there looking at me. It looked like it had like a rabbit or something in its hand. I couldn't really tell, you know,
wow.
what it was carrying.
Did that experience make you even more curious about seeking the truth, you think?
Yeah, I've pretty much been obsessed with it ever since, I guess you could say. I mean, up to that point, you know, I knew about the kind of stuff, but I wasn't real whatever, you know. But after that, it just kind of, wow, you know, it just kind of became my lifelong addiction, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
I've been just studying it ever since.
Yeah. Well, Kevin said you're also really into the paranormal as well.
Yeah, I've got a big interest in that as well.
Yeah,
pretty
you ever
much.
Do anything?
What? I'm sorry?
Have you ever done anything for that?
Little bit. A lot of times when I'm in places that I'm looking for Bigfoot, run into that kind of stuff. And
yeah,
you know, like these weird lights that I was talking about, and run into, you know, a lot of paranormal type activity, and just kind of, I guess you can say it's like one breeds the other, I guess, in a way. There's a lot of the places that I get into, you know, there's a lot of history in them, and most of it's all national forest land now.
Right.
But one area used to be an old sawmill town, and there's been a lot of deaths in there. You know, and you can still see some of the old roads and that kind of thing.
Right.
But the whole town apparently burned down, from my understanding.
Huh.
And they were all bought out by the government. It's all part of National Forest now, so.
Right. So, have you ever went hunting with Ken Gerhart?
No, I've met Ken before. Friends with Ken, actually, and we have a lot of the same associate. You know, we haven't been in the field together. No, I've talked to him many times, but the opportunity has never arisen for us to get together on an expedition.
Yeah,
it would be nice though. Yeah, that would be awesome.
Yeah, I'm friends with Ken as well, and I give him a hard time. I'm like, Ken, when we going out, man? I'm ready. I want to see what's up, you know? And he's like, well, you won't have to buy any equipment, because pretty much all your paranormal equipment you can use out in the field when you're hunting Bigfoot.
Right. Yeah, well, we carry you know, all that stuff's pretty much interchangeable.
Yeah. Yeah. And, I told Brandon he's going to take me out in the field and hunt some Bigfoot, and I'll take him to a haunted location, and he can get some activity that way.
Yeah, that's going to be awesome. best of both worlds.
Now, you have like a Bigfoot team, right?
Right.
You have folks that come up with you?
We have two of them, actually. They're essentially the same team, but it's broke off into two separate sections.
Mm-hmm.
I'm with the kind of the head of Texas Unified Natural Research, and then my dad, Bob Garrett, he's the head of Texas Big Thicket Watch. We're both the same team, but we're just like two different sections. We all work together, but usually the same people from both teams are in the same field together, so it's all
the
same guys.
You ever work with the Bigfoot chicks?
Well, I'm sorry?
You ever work with the Bigfoot chicks?
No, I never have. I've talked to Melissa Adair a few times, but I've never been out with them.
Yeah.
You guys got to get together.
You guys need to get like a Bigfoot action like event or something where you pull in a whole bunch of you guys so that you guys can all meet and go hunting, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be interesting.
Yeah, those girls are really nice girls, and they're very passionate about what they're doing, you know?
Yeah, I've had some respect for them.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I got respect for what they're doing.
Jody has an obsession with Bigfoot as well. She said that she's going out hunting this summer.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I am. My friend, Chris Mason, he's a ghost hunter, and he lives in Illinois about an hour away from me, and he was ghost hunting at a cemetery.
Okay.
And he ended up hearing, like, all these noises in the woods, and so he went over there, and he actually has, like, pictures of, like, huge footprints of, you know, what looks like a Bigfoot foot. And there was, like, a tree that was broken in half about 10 feet high. It was just snapped down, and that's what, like, he heard. So anyways, he was actually on Finding Bigfoot for his evidence that he captured in that area. So I'm going to go there with him. We're going to investigate the cemetery as well as Bigfoot. And I have a theory that I will be the first one to capture Bigfoot.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, because I have this talent that, like, you guys don't have. You guys, I think, you know, it's going to be the key. I have what I can do is mating calls with him.
Oh.
So, I think that
okay.
he'll come running because I'll be a damsel in distress. But
okay.
I can get a work. Yeah, I have this whole theory.
I have some faith in that.
Huh?
I have some faith in that. I see it working.
Yeah. Yeah, I wish I had on audio a clip of what, you know, what my mating calls sound like, but I don't think I do, Kevin, do we?
No.
You know, that's a real sad, sorry, shame. So.
Well, yeah, I'd like to hear this.
Well, you know what? Okay. People have fetishes, right?
Mm-hmm.
I have a fetish, and it's burping.
Okay.
I burp. Okay? I burp really freaking loud, and I burp really hard. And I can talk, and I'm called the Queen of Burps. I'm the first female loudest burp in the world for Guinness World Records.
Oh, sweet.
And I really think that if I get out in the woods and I start burping, like, I think he's really going to dig it. He's going to be like, what the hell
yeah.
is that? Right?
Yeah, I see this.
Okay,
I see
like,
this.
Unusual. He could really like it.
Well, you know, they do say that Bigfoot is a very curious creature, and he's probably going to go, what in the hell is that? I got to go check
right.
out what the hell's making this noise.
Right,
what's
and I could be
here?
Like a damsel in distress. He doesn't know what's wrong with me. This, like, human is screaming from depths of hell.
You got to get it all on video and send it to me.
Oh, they're all over. Just Google me, Queen of Burps.
Queen of Burps, okay. I will.
Yeah. There's tons of videos. I'm quite retarded, actually. That's okay. But
hey,
yeah,
ain't nothing
so
wrong
I'm
with that.
Go, I'm going to go, and I think I'm going to bring my wolf, too. As bait.
Okay.
You know?
Your wolf is bait, yeah.
He might be hungry.
That's true.
Would he eat a wolf?
That's hard to say. I mean, it's been a lot of reports of him eating dogs and
yeah.
killing and eating dogs. And I bring my dog with me occasionally, and my dad brings his little dog, a little cocker spaniel, and he seems
How do
to
they
be
do?
Real. My dog pretty much just like, what's going on? But she's like a little retarded herself. But,
so maybe I should go sometime with your retarded dog.
Yeah.
We're going to be retards together.
she's I don't even know what kind of dog she is. She's just a little mutt that my friend gave me when she was a puppy. But she's like huge and got probably the sweetest dog you'll ever meet, but about not really the smartest.
Yeah.
My dad's dog.
My wolf is the same way. He is a dipshit.
Is he? What kind of wolf is it?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I got him from Humane Society. He was rescued from a puppy mill, and I thought I was getting Siberian Husky. And after two rounds of puppy classes, and we would go to puppy class, and he would be like, watch this. And he'd, like, ace his test. And then we'd walk in the door, and he'd be, like, tearing up everything. And I'm like, what the hell? And then, like, my mom has, like, standard poodles. And my dog is taller than the fucking standard poodles. I just said the F word.
Wow.
But oh well.
But
he's huge. And so I took him to the vet. I'm like, dude, what is wrong with this dog? Like, I can't train him. And he's like, well, he's part wolf. And you can tell by this and that and this and that. And so, yeah, he's like, I guess they were breeding wolf with Siberian Husky. He's beautiful. He's all white with blue eyes.
Oh, man. That would be pretty.
And he, you know, the way he is with my daughter, like, he'll plow my daughter down, and she just, like, loves it, you know? She's like, oh, macho, you know? And then, like, she'll be, like, wrestling with him, and they're kind of like a little wolf pack, the two of them.
Oh, really?
But he's a pain in the butt. But I think he would be fun to, bring for bait. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
he'll be all right. He'll protect me.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's been a lot of theories that coyotes and follow Bigfoot around. They're kind of in a team kind of thing.
Really?
And I've gotten some recordings where I hear some either coyotes start it, and then
mm-hmm.
it sounds like a Bigfoot kind of mimicking it, or sometimes the other way around, and
really?
Close to the same areas in some cases, real close to each other. So it might.
So do they like the noises? Like, you know, because I can get my dog to howl, my wolf. Like, he howls all the time to me. Like, I can just start talking to him and wolf talk, and he starts talking.
Huh. Well, it's been my experience that they mimic the other animals. And they do tend to, like, playing with dogs, you know, kind of mocking them in a way.
Right.
And, you know, I've experienced myself. We have a recording of it going on, and there's been a lot of reports of it as well, where they'll come and the dog will start barking at them. They'll bark back at the dog and they'll bark back at each other.
That's kind of creepy.
Yeah, it's
like
kinda,
this huge creature. He's like, arf, arf. It's a small dog.
Oh, I think it's kind of a game to him. But.
Oh my god! So, what's the most amazing piece of evidence that you have captured during all of your years of investigating?
The most amazing piece.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's two of them that I think are probably the two most amazing. One I did, and the other, my buddy Lupe Mendoza did. We were together on one, and then it was me and my dad on the other. And there were actual videos where the one was where me and my dad were. Me and him do a lot of work together, and we were leaving one area, and we came we were passing this trailhead, and he's like, "Stop! Wait, what? What is that? Stop!" You know, looks like one bent down right inside there. So we stopped the car and got out, and we saw him, started walking up there, and I'm videotaping it, and he's like looking, you know, tracking it and everything, looking for tracks, and he found some tracks, and I'm like, "You know, tell me what you saw," you know. So he starts describing it and, you know, the situation and everything. Well, we started walking down this trail, saying, "Well, where would it have gone?" You know. Finally, we figured this one spot looked like something broken over, so we went up inside there. We're looking around and trying to videotape him. We heard something moving. He saw something, you know, move a couple times, and never did, you know, get a look at it. And I'm panning the camera around, and never saw it with my own eyes.
Mm-hmm.
But once we went back, reviewing the film, it was like, "Wait a minute, what is this?" You know. And we had, and, you know,
so you actually
times,
had something on film.
Yeah. We caught, I think in that film we caught three of them in that mm-hmm. in that one film. We had some. Or some dirt thrown at us, and then a stick thrown at us.
Really?
Well, and then we, in the film, look, you know, when we were reviewing it, we caught one of them in the act of throwing it, and then we caught another one that was standing there with its head. Its back was facing us, but its head was turned like it was looking at us out of the corner of its eye. And there was another one that kind of, it was more blob squatch, I'd say. I couldn't really make it out too much, but it looked like something there. Then did some work on them and blew them up and was doing some filters with the color and everything. Got a lot of detail in them, in those two. And then...
Did the film pick up their eye glow, or was it just strictly the shadow silhouette of them?
No, it was daytime.
Oh, it was daytime, you know, damn.
Yeah, it's just perfect. Perfect.
Wow.
It's just like looking, just a, you know, picture of them, basically.
Do you guys have that out on the internet so that people can see that?
Yeah, I've got one of them.
Where would people find it?
You know, on the TexasBigThicketWatch.com, and you can see a cropping of one of them on the page there. That's the only one I've put out so far.
Yeah,
nice.
This has been a couple of years ago when I did this, and we just now finished working on them. So I'm like, wait a minute, you know, can we kind of put that out on
yeah.
there and. Still work, you know. Still got work to do on them. Still analyzing them and everything. But, and then the one Lupe got was me and him, and we heard something went up into the bush. I'm in front. He's behind me. He was filming, and we caught one kind of bent over looking at us, blew it up, and started. We didn't see it with our own eyes. It was back when we was looking at the video. We knew something was there, which it was just so still, you know, and kind of blended in so well. But when looking at the video, we can see perfect facial details, everything.
Really?
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. I would say those were probably the best, in my opinion. Of what I found, but I've gotten, you know, a lot of other stuff as well.
Right.
Yep. Several footprint casts, photos of footprints, and lots of vocals.
Have you ever gotten, like, hair samples and stuff? And have you ever gotten them tested?
I've got hair samples, but I've never had them tested. I've got a couple of bones
that,
as well.
I heard it's, like, bad if you get them tested or something. Like, people will criticize you for who you're having it done by. And
yeah.
You know.
Well, the whole Melba Ketchum thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of hard to explain there. It's just a matter of, you know, who you're talking to, kind of a matter of opinion thing.
Right.
A lot of people don't find it credible. A lot of people do. Big old. I don't want to get into
how
all that.
How could they not find a hair sample that, you know, is being tested for its DNA? How is that not credible evidence?
Well, it's not so much the hair sample itself. It's the it's so easy, you know, because when you're looking at something that's unknown,
mm-hmm.
you know, we don't have, you know, we don't have the actual genome to in the DNA to say this is what this is. All you know, say is this, okay, it's unknown, whatever.
No, but if it matches up other.
Yeah. If it matches
DNA
up
in different states and around the world, there's something,
right.
You know.
Exactly. Yeah, there's something to it.
Yeah.
Right.
There's some type of pattern,
and there's what, the blonde hair, and then there's the dark hair, right?
Yeah, there's blonde, dark, and or kind of black. And black is the most commonly reported in most cases. And then there's brown, reddish brown.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And gray is not as commonly reported, but it's, you know, there's a lot of theories behind that. Could it be, you know,
yeah.
an older individual, you know, kind of like humans get gray hair, well, so do they, you know. But, the blonde is kind of, I mean, there's even, you know, solid white ones reported. So, personally, I've seen black. I've seen a kind of a almost blondish. I wouldn't say blonde, but kind of a cream colored.
Mm-hmm.
And all I could see on it was its face. So I don't know what the rest of it, you know, the rest of its body looked like, but its face had, you know, kind of a cream colored hair on its face. And then I've seen, that reddish brown.
Mm-hmm.
So I know those three from my own experience and then taking reports from other people. You know, quite a array of variation there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And for listeners out there, Brandon's kind of more, he's southeast Texas, right? But the whole state
right.
Of Texas, the eastern part of Texas is a lot of natural forest, a lot of deep thicket woods, you know.
Right.
I know here, well, probably even down where you're at, there's a lot of pine trees. So there's a lot of areas that, you know, us as people don't venture out a lot into unless you're a hunter or whatnot. And
mm-hmm.
I know up here, I know Brandon knows this, up here in East Texas, up in the Marshall and Caddo Lake area and all, you know, all around up here is just reports after reports of Bigfoot sightings. Ken told me all the reports that he gets. He says the number one area of Texas is this area here as far as sighting wise and experiences. And we got a lot of things going on down here, Jody.
I
was thinking
sure.
to myself, it seems like there are a lot of teams down in Texas.
Yeah.
So is it like a very active place?
Texas is a very active place.
Yeah. Why do you think?
I've seen, well, like Kevin was talking about the, you know, the forest. I mean, the whole eastern half of the state is you know, thick
yeah.
forest in most cases. So
yeah.
you get a lot to, even to miles of forest. And you
and
know,
that's
we're
the
right here
place.
We're yeah. And a lot of it's unbroken. And you can
we have in our side of the state, Brandon will agree on this too. We have a lot of lakes, we have a lot of rivers. So we got a lot
mm-hmm.
of bodies of water for these things to you know, to live around.
Right. Yeah, it's and they tend to be, you know, used as waterways, kind of like highways. And it's where I'm at right now, I'm right on a river. Going surrounded by forest and swamp. So I mean, I can walk out, just go into there. I'm either going to run into water within the next 10 minutes or the next road will probably be about an hour walk.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's probably another hour, 2 hours walk to the next road. So.
Right. Have you ever put thought into why Bigfoot for, you know, hundreds of years, because it goes all the way back to the Native Americans. You know, they
mm-hmm.
they actually have a deep appreciation for Bigfoot, you know, in their cultures. And, you know, what gets me is how they're programmed as genetic, as they're very elusive. They don't want to be seen as much as possible, you know?
Right. I think my theory on that, and I think a lot of people agree with me and a lot of people disagree with me on here, but I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that, you know, there's reports of trading between Native Americans and something sounding similar to Bigfoot.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of doubt that it was in a lot of cases that it was a Bigfoot that they were,
mm-hmm.
you know, what we consider Bigfoot anyway, that they
right.
were trading with. I think it was more like a Cro-Magnon type man,
right?
That still existed at the time. And might still exist, you know, today.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm thinking on there. But I think the whole Bigfoot aspect of that was they were there and they were seen, but they weren't. They kind of avoided each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in this kind of hard to explain, but. I think they kind of hunted each other in a way.
Right.
Because I know, you know, a lot of Native Americans fear the Bigfoot. A lot, you know, take
yeah.
it with reverence and everything, respect it, but a lot of them will fear it. And there's been a lot of stories about them actually going out and killing them, hunting them down and killing them.
Oh, weren't they stealing their women?
Yeah, yeah, there's a lot of reports, and it's actually... It's, in some cases, it still goes on today, that they kidnap women and take them off. And...
What? Where are these reports?
if I had them in front of me, I'd tell you where to find them.
yeah,
I don't have
them
in front of me at the moment.
Jody, bye-bye.
Well...
like, how is that slipping by, you know, without people not talking about that?
Well, on the reservations and stuff, there's a lot of talk about it. On a lot of the reservations. And I don't, you know, I'm not real, you know, real in depth on all the history of that part. But what I've read and what I know about, and people that I've talked to on the reservations, you know, some good friends of mine that have reports of it. that they've collected and stuff. So.
And where are these reservations?
I know Navajo reservation is one of the most prevalent that I'm aware of. And,
it's really interesting that
New Mexico,
you know, that information isn't really being discussed. You know?
No, there's a lot of it is kind of held back.
Yeah, that's baloney. You know, mm-hmm. How do you get a breakthrough with trying to uncover the unknown if you can't speak out about the truth?
Right. And there are some getting out there and speaking out. And,
yeah. You need to talk about that at Kevin's event. I think you should find out some more information and ask some stories, because that's an interesting, you know, part of history with Bigfoot is the Native Americans, Indians, you know.
Right, right.
And their beliefs in them. But, you know, I've heard stories that they believe that Bigfoot can disappear right in front of them. So it's not really in, you know, like human or, you know, like real form.
Well,
have you heard that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I've heard a lot about that kind of stuff. My own opinion based on my own observations, I have yet to see one disappear in front of me.
Right.
But
I don't think it's possible. You know what I'm saying?
No,
like,
it's
living.
Not.
It's living.
No, they're,
it's living like us, and, you know, we can't disappear, so I can't imagine it could.
It probably would. It was probably a figure of speech back then. It was probably one of those things where they saw one and they might have turned around for a second and turned back around. It was gone. And
they
basically, through translation, they said it disappeared, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
yeah.
Kind of a
it's
hypothetical
possible.
Understanding. Kind of a hypothetical understanding, I think.
Okay.
And a lot of it mistranslated, you know, as well. I think in a lot of cases, you know, the whole disappearing and, you know, being a spiritual being, so a lot of Native Americans, everything was spiritual.
Right.
So it kind of mistranslated through time as being like a spiritual being with difference in cultural understanding, I think, had a lot to do with that. That would be my best interpretation of that.
Okay, so my question, my big question is,
what's up?
Okay, so if I go Bigfoot hunting this summer for the first time, what tools do I need to bring? Like, you know, certain people do certain stuff for certain reasons. What
right.
is it that you like to do and what you like to offer, or, you know, what would you suggest, and especially to Kevin, too, because he's probably going to go for a first time this spring or summer as well. So what kind of tools?
Okay.
And also for listeners, you know, if they ever decide to go Bigfoot hunting, these are the things that we should do.
What you need to bring with you? Basic camping gear.
Right.
You know, tent, sleeping bag, that kind of thing. And binoculars are handy. Depending on where you're at, you know, here in East Texas, I carry them, but I don't think I've ever even brought them out. I always have them with me. Just, you know, because if I'm looking across a lake or something, then that comes in handy. But I carry a, you know, Sony digital camcorder.
Right.
With a 2,000 optical zoom. I mean, I can look all the way out there, and I'm getting it on video. If there's something, you know, if there's something there that I need to videotape. So camcorder, digital camera, always carry more than one.
Right.
I always carry about three digital cameras with me. I have my main one that I use most of the time, and then two backups. And the same with my camcorder. And digital recorders, parabolic
right.
mic.
Mm-hmm.
Never
what
go in the woods
bait?
Without it. Not.
What kind of bait? Like, what do you offer food? Or, you know, some people do peanut butter, apples, or, like, you know.
I don't usually bait. If I do, no. If I do, you know, I'll put out, you know, just some cookies. Might put, you know, a can of sardines, what we did yesterday. Nothing got it except for coons. You know, that, stuff,
right.
stuff like that. Just something you might get attention. Because we're not just looking for Bigfoot. Anything that comes up there, you know.
Fried chicken.
Yeah, you put your bucket of fried chicken out there. Don't forget the hot sauce, though.
You know what? I probably would like that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Fried chicken, hot sauce, and a six-pack of beer, and they're going to come running.
you put that out in the woods of East Texas, you're probably going to have a redneck attracted to it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I know if I'm hiking through there and I find it, well, hell, I just got me a free dinner.
Yeah. Now give me what I want.
To kind of paint a picture for folks that are not familiar with Texas, we have a huge hog problem down here. We have hogs everywhere. So baiting, you got to be careful what you bait because those hogs will, you'll pull them hogs in. And you don't want
exactly.
to mess with hogs.
Exactly. That's one of your biggest problems out here.
Really?
I mean, you... Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Quite a few run-ins with them.
Oh.
And a lot of people don't realize it, but those hogs, you know,
yeah.
they're either going to run away from you or you're going to be dinner. Hogs,
yeah.
hogs will kill you and eat you.
Yeah, those jokers will run right at your ass. They are not scared
mm-hmm.
of you.
Yeah, I've seen it on shows before. Yeah, I think that would be the scariest part about being out in the woods is that you're out there with some wild animals and you don't know what you could come across.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah, you just got to keep it.
So I'm bringing my brother. He's bringing guns. And the guy I'm going with... He's a private investigator, so he'll have guns. So,
okay, good.
Well, like I said,
we're not going to shoot Bigfoot, but like you know, if some cat comes along, shoot.
Hey,
we
said this on the, I think it was on my show on Sunday. In Texas, we don't have burglar alarms. Our alarm is a shotgun by the front door.
Exactly. Amen to that, brother.
I looked up the statistics one day, Jody, you know, with all this gun control talk and all that, just to kind of curious to see the stats on Texas. And, of course, this is just ones of registered, people that have registered their firearms. In Texas alone, we have over 53 million firearms registered.
It makes sense. I mean, Jesus Christ, okay? Like, even here in St. Louis, you know, on the outside of St. Louis, we have so many farms, and people are out there, they're hunting deer, they're hunting, you know, duck hunting, they're doing all kinds of stuff, and I don't think anybody should have the right to take their freaking guns away, you know? It's a sport.
Yeah.
And it
right.
also has, you know, with overpopulation of certain animals that otherwise would be taking over our freaking land. So
mm-hmm.
you have to have that, you know, don't even get me started on a freaking government, okay?
Well, not even, Well, the only reason I brought it up is just to show you how many guns. I think because Texas is such a big state that we make up over 55% nationwide as a state.
I'd like to see the government come in there, see what they do. Right?
Guns in the U.S. Are in Texas.
Shut the whole state down. Let's see what you get.
The hogs are so bad down here that they pretty much Texas Wildlife pretty much opened it up. You know, you can kill hogs right and left. You know,
yeah.
It's
well,
like,
yeah. If they, there's a problem, they should be killed. You know.
Yep. And you know that I was telling you one time, Brandon, through messaging, but I never really got to talk about it too much, and I'll go ahead now because I started the story when we lost you.
Okay.
I had an experience up here outside of Marshall. We were actually on a ghost hunt, and we were going down this road called Stagecoach Road, which it's an old dirt road that's the only part of it that's left. It used to run from Shreveport all the way to Dallas, and the stagecoaches would go down through there, and the hill, the side of the roads, the hill goes up like an embankment, and stagecoach robbers would get on the top of those hills and jump on top of the stagecoaches to rob them.
Okay, okay.
So there's been reports of lights, you know, different things. You're supposedly supposed to see a apparition of a stagecoach actually going down the road, those kind of things. So we're like, okay, let's go check it out. Well, there's woods everywhere. There's a natural forest right next to it on one side of the road that we discovered later. We were walking down dark-ass damn road, you know. And I also heard that devil worshippers would congregate down at the end of the road. So we were kind of on edge, you know, that they might be down there. And
right.
On the left side of the road, and I tell Ken this too, and he thought it was fascinating. On the left side of the road, we started hearing this howling, and the only way I can describe it, it had a combination of like a monkey and hog, whatever you want to call it. But I had never in my life heard something this loud and this crazy, right? And I'm pretty outdoorsy. I've been camping a lot, and I've never heard it. And so it kind of stopped us in our track. And then on the other side of the road, in this big-ass tree, we hear this loud boom, like a big old branch from way up had fallen. And you hear this crash of the branch. Then you hear this big thump, like something real heavy hit the ground. And then you hear something run off, and it's running on 2 feet. Because there's a difference between something running on 4 feet in 2 feet, the way the sound is.
Right. Very very distinctive.
Yeah, I'm like, what the hell? What the hell is going on? We're getting crazy calls on one side of the road, and then something just jumped out of a tree on the other side. And I was describing that to Ken, and he's like, yep, that kind of sounds like you had some kind of running.
That's what it sounds like to me.
Yeah.
Good possibility there.
Yeah, yeah. Considering it's actually kind of in between Jefferson and Marshall, so you know there's a lot of woods out there. And I even talked to a state highway patrolman that had a run-in with a Bigfoot that actually ran across the highway right in front of him as he's on patrol.
Oh, really?
You know? Yeah. Yeah.
It sounds to me like it's a very good possibility you might have had a Bigfoot there.
Yeah,
Everything fits.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Right here where I'm at right now, there's a lot of reports of them, people hearing them come out of trees. People be over there on the river fishing and hear something large jump out of a tree, run off on two legs. And me and my brother, what about last year, we were down by this little pond in the same area. And we had we were on one side of the pond, and there's and it's kind of raised up, and there's a trail that goes beside it. It's actually a four wheeler trail. Mm-hmm. And well, we were over here just looking around, taking pictures and stuff. And, all of a sudden, it was dead, but it was a sapling, and it just kind of falls over. But it was like it was pushed over. So we're like, okay, you know. So we both like, what's going on here? So we go over there. We're looking around. We don't see anything. Well, maybe it just fell naturally. It was just kind of odd the way it happened. And we start hearing something moving around. So we're like, what's going on here? You know. And then where it was at? I have to kind of give you a visual here. Where it was at? It was raised up. So something, you know, real easily could reach up off the side, because it was on the tree was on the top of the levee, and it's probably about 6 or 7 feet from there to the flat ground. So something could easily, you know, crawl up there, knock it over, come back down, crawl around, and run, get off into this creek bed that was right through there. So we're thinking probably most likely scenario. So we go down, walk around down to the creek bed. So we're walking up, looking, you know, to see if we see any tracks or anything, just, you know, whatever, trying to figure out, you know, why this tree fell. And then get over, start going across the road, because the creek crosses the road there. Start going across the road. And, once we get over there, we're walking up inside there, and we heard something jump out of a tree and run off through the bushes.
And it ran off in the bushes?
Yeah, we never did see it, but we could hear it, and it sounded like it was on two legs.
Huh.
But it came up out. It was like a thump, like something coming out of the tree.
Yep.
And then going off, crashing through the bushes.
Mm-hmm.
Was over,
yeah,
kind of way beside us there.
Now, what are some of the things that your group does? Now, it's probably kind of like what I was about to say was, you know, in the paranormal field, we have people all the time that watch television shows, right? And then they have this conception of, oh, you're on a paranormal team, so you must do this, 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 and this, just like that's on TV. And I'm like, no, it's a different ball game than what you see on that, because a lot of that is entertainment. You know, they got to have viewers. And what we do in the field a lot of times can get a little boring or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure, you know, with all the Bigfoot shows that are on television nowadays, I'm sure you get that too, you know, when you say, yeah, I go out in the woods and look for Bigfoot. So what are some of the things that y'all do that people out there probably don't realize because they just watch the television shows?
Most of the time we're just bored off our butts. We'll go out and do some fishing because there ain't nothing going on. But it's just,
I love fishing. What are you fishing?
Oh, catfish, whatever. Just but you know that's what we do a lot of the time. You know, because there's, you know, like you said, it's not like it is on TV. You don't have, you know, one come, you know, knocking on your front door every 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of times it's just nothing. You up in your camp. You get pretty bored sometimes. You can go do something else. Kill that time. Wait, you know, start hearing vocals that way sometimes. That's where a lot of experiences come from, is being right there on that water at the right time. You know, just but do a lot of hiking out through the swamp, wading out there in that nasty water, trying to get from one place to the other. you know, you come out of there, you're, I mean, you're soaked, you're dirty, you're muddy. You know, and this is both day and night. So,
yeah.
I mean, it gets pretty dangerous. You know, we're talking about the hogs and everything. I mean,
a lot of people
think they can just walk out there and, you know, find a Bigfoot like they do on TV, and it doesn't work that way. You might walk all day long and not find nothing. And then, you know, next trip, just be sitting in your camp and one starts hollering right next to it. So there's no set formula.
Right.
Going out and finding one, the majority of the time, I mean, it's just like a camping trip.
Yeah.
So,
do you guys try to do any vocals to trigger anything, or do you just kind of, like you said, just kind of chill out and let them start, you know, doing their thing, and then you try to track them?
Well, occasionally, if feel like it. Might be effective, might do something.
Yeah.
We'll kind of play around with that, with the you know doing calls or something. But it's very, very rarely that we do that.
Yeah,
it's see, more of a
because Bruce Barclo, we had him on the show up there in New York, and I asked him the same question. He goes, "Dude, I'm not a big fan of that. You know, not like you see on TV. We don't go out there and do hundreds of calls out in the woods. You know."
Right. Yeah, it doesn't work like that. I mean,
because a lot of times, you know, these are animals, part animal, whatever you want to call them, but they have that animal instinct, you know. And if you start trying to imitate them, they're going to go, I know who that is. They're over there. So
right.
I ain't going, you know, I'm not going that direction.
Exactly. You might fool them once, but you're not going to fool them twice. And mostly, when you think you might be fooling them, the chances are it's just curiosity. What's this? You know, what the hell's this guy doing? You know.
Right. There's another question I throw out there because I'm sure people that watch television want to know this. Is there a lot of tree knock? You hear Bigfoot actually doing a lot of tree knocking.
You do hear that every now and then, but it's not like on TV.
Yeah.
I mean, you might every now and then hear something that you consider could be a tree knock.
Mm-hmm.
I don't put everything that, you know, every bang in the woods is a tree knock.
Yeah, exactly.
99% of the time, it's a woodpecker. So, I mean, you might hear something that could, you know, every now and then, you know, has the potential of possibly being one. But
right.
I've heard a couple times when, you know, I was pretty sure that's what it was. So
mm-hmm.
I don't sit and knock on the tree trying to knock back at them. I just kind of record it and go on maybe in that direction or in a paralleling direction just to
mm-hmm.
see if I can pinpoint where it's coming from and maybe elicit something, you know, something to happen again. But I've noticed a lot of times you start hearing something by your camp. And a lot of people disagree with this, and you got to be completely silent, completely dark at all times. I disagree with that.
Mm-hmm.
I've noticed the majority activity I have around my camp is when I have a fire going, maybe sometimes even light a lantern. And, you know, the reason for that is, you know, that light will shine through the woods. It might get something's attention.
Mm-hmm.
You know, cause curiosity, you know, who, you know, why is there light other than obviously something, you know, check it out. But when I do that, I have a lot more activity, you know, in the darker areas around my camp. and I'll get up, shine a, you know, if I think it's going to be, you know, going to work, I'll sign up, get up, shine a flashlight over there. And a lot of times that's how I get some kind of reaction.
Mm-hmm.
Shine that flashlight over there where I'm hearing it. All of a sudden, you know, hear a, you know, a whoop or, you know, something along those lines, or something, you know, jump out, you know, start moving over.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of people think you got to be completely dark. Well, no, no, don't do that. Just act normal, like you're just a normal camping party.
And yeah,
I found that much more effective, because if you get all, because the way I look at it, you know, they're living in, you know, wild natural habitat. Not they're living a wild lifestyle, and people kind of want to put a humanistic spin on their psychology, and you can't do that. You can't be like, they're not going to think the same way we do, because they don't live the same lifestyle we do.
Exactly.
If you have a predator prey scenario, well, even predators oftentimes prey. So
yeah,
if you're sneaking around, you know, being all stealthy and stalky, well, then chances are you're going to be, you know, you might you know, get up close to one, but you're not going to have the same reaction by them. They're going to be most time more leery to ease back. Where if you just act normal, you know, just like somebody hiking through the woods,
mm-hmm.
you know, chit chatting, you know, with your buddy there, showing no real, I mean, be aware, but don't show that you're aware. Don't show that you're being stealthy and stalky. And you have more of a chance to maybe get them looking over at you, get a little bit closer to you, because you're not showing us to be so much of a threat in a predatory sense. That's been my experience, anyway.
Well, you know, and you look at, you know, the thousands and thousands of claims. A lot of people's experiences when they run into these creatures, a lot of times they'll either be hunting, or they're out camping, or, you know, like you said, they're hiking. You know, they're doing the natural things. And, you know, I don't know how many times people talk about, you know, I was in my tent and there was something outside my tent and that kind of thing. They went out hunting Bigfoot. The Bigfoot came to them, you know?
Exactly. Exactly. That's the way I like to work it. I mean, you can go out there, be all, you know, be all Rambo and everything, but
kind of like you're the bait, you know.
Yeah, that's the way I do it.
You're doing your thing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
if you don't,
and you know, with say for you and your guys and gals, you know. Y'all have a certain way of doing things, and y'all had success doing it, so you keep doing it. And that's the kind of way we are in the paranormal. Like, my team does things differently than what Jody does when she goes out. But she has success at what she does. I have success with my team and what we do, you know, and that's
right.
That's just part of being an investigator.
Exactly. What works best for you in your scenario, your situation.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned earlier you do a lot of expeditions with your dad, which I find intriguing because my dad is actually on my paranormal team. So,
oh, really?
Yeah. So my dad goes on investigations with me. So how does that work out with you two? I'm going to compare notes between me and my dad.
Hey, most of the time it works out pretty good. I mean, we have our difference in opinions occasionally, but for the, you know.
Do you find yourself sometimes, you know, being the boss of the situation, you know, giving him direction? And because that's the way I am, being the founder of my group and my dad is underneath me, a lot of times I'm the one giving him direction, and it kind of feels pretty good.
Well, that's kind of why I had one team and he had the other. So we're working together, but we're two separate teams. I mean,
I hear you there, because my dad, he's in charge of home base. So he sits at home base, watches the DVR cameras, and I go off wherever in the building away.
Yeah, that's how kind of way we work it. He's usually there at the base, and because he's pretty old, you know, and not in good health, so he can't do as much, you know, hiking as he used to. So he stays there most of the time, does what he can,
that's great. He's still out there and he's still a part of it. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
Now here's something for you. Here's another one on this. You got a group of people. You know, you got your groups and your dad's out there. Have you noticed since when you first started doing that and you going together and going out with the team? Have you noticed that your dad will start telling stories about his life that you personally have never even heard? Have you come across that?
There's been a couple times I know most of the stories that he tells. Yeah. So.
My dad has told numerous stories to my team that he has not even told me. And I'm 39 years old, and I'm now hearing the story for the first time about some of the crazy shenanigans he did when he was in his 20s. And I'm just like, you'll tell people on our team these stories, but you didn't even tell your own son this.
Why, am I the first time hearing this, Dad? Oh yeah, that happens occasionally.
But yeah, it's cool. You know, it's great to be able to do what you love, and you get to spend time with your family too at the same time.
Right. Yeah, because you know, it's me, my dad, my brother working together, and then the rest of the team, which we're all brothers and sisters. So
it's a family thing. So
pretty much. I mean, only three of us are blood, but the rest of us are all family.
Yeah.
So it's, anyway, so, you know, it's a pretty good, pretty good team that I have here.
Yeah.
We're all
do you travel around at all
family.
And go to other places to, hunt?
Yeah, we do stuff in other places as well. Whenever the opportunity arises.
Right.
Been quite a few different places. Most of our work is done here, but we go to other places as well. Lived in Colorado for many years and did a lot of stuff out there when we was living out there. Just got last year was up in both Arkansas and Tennessee, so was up there with Jeffrey Teagle and Bruce Bearclaw. So
yeah,
so that was a lot of fun. And that was last year we did that. We've been quite a few to other places as well. That's the most recent.
Yeah, Jody, I told Brandon he's gonna have to bring his team. We're gonna have to go on an expedition up here.
Yeah, definitely. And we'll get you guys out there with us.
Heck yeah! My whole team, they've all been talking about it for a long time. We've just been like, man, we're in the paranormal, but as far as research, all crypto, everything, it goes together because we're all searching for answers about the unknown. You know, we know stuff's out there, but we still want to gather information about them. And,
right.
Yeah, so I've always wanted to learn about, you know, Bigfoot hunting. Because, like I said, I go camping all the time and stuff, so... To learn what you guys do and, you know, what to listen for and this, that, and other, it just helps me when I'm out. You know, I got a couple people on my team. We're going on a big camping trip in 2 weekends. We're camping out at Mud Creek in Jacksonville. It's a 4,000-square-acre ATV park, and we're going to go ride four-wheelers. And,
okay, that'd be fun.
Yeah, so, you know, I already told some of my guys that there's a cemetery on the property out there, and I was like, oh yeah, four wheelers and ghost hunting. Here we go.
Yeah, that's the way to do it right there. Yeah, because we were just out actually last night. There's a single grave that's marked out close to where we're at right now, down one of these roads. It's just sitting out there. On the side of the road, out in the middle of nowhere.
Wow!
But I don't remember the date on it, but it's a grave that's there. It's been there for obviously for years. People leave offerings by, you know, on the grave and everything.
Yeah.
But we decided to try to do a little EVP thing last night, and asking questions. You know, it's a little. Quarter,
yeah.
We went back and played it back, and it almost sounds like we got some replies in some of it. My dad took it home and was put it on computer. I was playing, you know. I went back and was listening to it because research area I'm in right now is only like 20 minutes from my house, so
yeah.
I was able to, you know, run back over there. Was listening to it. It does. It sounds like something like. And getting replies on it, so
that's awesome.
Been out to that grave quite a few times. That was the first time, you know. I'm kind of messing around on down there. Usually just go over there, take a few pictures, show some of the guys that haven't been there yet.
when y'all come to the conference in October. Yeah, I know one building that we got right now set up for investigation. Working on three other locations, but we had it for last year's, and my team actually, a couple months ago, actually investigated it by ourselves because we didn't have an opportunity during the conference to do it because we were running the whole show. But, yeah, man, we got all kinds of stuff. The elevator started going off by itself, and we were the only ones in the building. Yeah. We were getting we threw a coin down. It's an 8-story hotel it's been gutted, so it's not like there's hotel rooms anymore. You go to each floor and it's just open floor. But we threw a quarter down to one end of the floor and it got thrown back at us.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
that's pretty wild. Yeah, we had I think it was while we got cut off earlier, I was talking about this rock that came into our camp last night, hit one of the tents. We were talking about it later on that we should have grabbed a rock and threw it back in there, but to see what would happen. But we didn't do it until, or didn't think about it until later on. So I never didn't
right.
do it, but. Kind of made me think about that. That was pretty wild.
Yeah, exactly.
Another one comes flying into the camp, I'm going to do that.
I know Jody would if a rock came flying in. She'd pick it up and throw it back.
Yeah. I just thought I'd throw it again and put some
skunk
on it.
Yeah, and I'll say this quote verbatim. She would probably say, come on, motherfucker, if you're bad enough.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I would challenge Bigfoot to a duel.
Well, really?
Fuck yeah.
Jody, you need to get you out in the woods with me once sometime, Jody. This I got to see.
Yeah, I kind of get loose with my mouth, you know.
Don't we all on occasion?
Yeah, it makes it exciting. I mean, you know, life can be so boring. Why can't you, like, you know, I don't know.
Get it. Have
say
fun.
What you think you, what, you know, would be fun, you know?
Right, right.
Challenging.
That's right. You can't be, serious all the time. Driving
nah.
nuts.
Yeah.
Nah.
A little bit of a little bit of craziness keeps you sane.
Yeah, my team's pretty goofy and laid back, and seems like when we get our best evidence is when we're goofing off.
Mm-hmm. Same here. That's when you appear the most vulnerable. You might not be the most, but that's when you appear the most vulnerable. That's what I found.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, has there been a time when, because I ask this with paranormal investigators all the time as well, but has there been a time when something happened and you, for some reason, don't have your camera on you, or your camera's dead, or you forget to hit record or something, but you miss a great opportunity to record some evidence and you didn't?
Oh, yeah. That's happened a few times. I think the one that I kicked myself for the most was me and my brother Travis. We were coming off these islands where we had some game cameras set up. We were coming through. It's a group of islands, and I had some experiences going on there. About a week beforehand. That's why we started going off a little bit further. Me and some buddies were on that island camping, doing some fishing. We weren't out there doing any research. We were just out there fishing, camped for the night, and getting all kinds of activity going on around us. I'm kicking myself because I didn't bring any equipment with me except for a camera to photograph our fish. I'm like, oh. Well, then... A few days later, me and my brother, we set up some cameras out there, and we were coming back. The only way to get through there is in a boat, so we were canoeing back and heard this chatter. Looked up, and sure enough, standing there on one of the islands, plain as day. I mean, just plain as day, was a Bigfoot standing there. And there were two of them. One I could see. One I couldn't see, but the one I could see was staying there plain as day, and he was chatting to the other one. They were chatting back and forth to each other, I guess talking about us probably. Stopped there for a second, and I'm sitting here. The camera is in my hand, and I'm just like so stunned that I forgot all about it until I was like, really? Is that thing really just staying in there? I still kick myself over that.
a friend of mine, he was at Waverly Hills investigating, and this big old ball of light, they were recording it, and it was intelligently moving. It came all the way up to the camera. He asked it to move left, right, up, down, all that kind of stuff, and it would do whatever he said. And he's like, holy shit, you know, this is like good shit. This is like the holy grail of ghost hunting.
Right.
But when rewinded it to watch it, right, and they watched it or whatever and rewound it again by accident, and then recorded over it.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
That would suck. I've had numerous experiences where dealing with spirits, being that they're human, once we're human, they'll do things when we're getting there, and we don't have any equipment on. We always turn our recorder on, but we don't have any of the video cameras running normally because, we're carrying everything in.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's when shit goes down. And, like when we walked into Old South Pittsburgh Hospital, we walked in and we're walking to down the hallway by this nurse's station to go put all of our stuff in our rooms that we're going to sleep in. And the damn door just opens by itself. We stood there and watched it. And then it slammed, and then it locked. You hear the lock on it, and it locks itself.
Oh, no.
And we're like, what the heck? Yeah. And then we start to walk out because we went and tried the door, and it was locked. We walk off, and you hear the lock again, and it unlocks itself. We open the door, and there's nothing. There's nobody in there.
Huh.
But did anybody have a video camera? No.
Oh man, a few weeks ago, me and one of my partners, Jennifer, we were walking up, we parked, we parked where I'm camping at right now, and then we walked up the road, did quite a ways, but we had to walk over the river. And then past a little pond, kind of a little channel that runs into a pond, that runs then another channel that runs back into the river. It's kind of an impoundment there. And then there's another campground. Well, we went up down the road past that quite a ways, just walking down the road at night, seeing if we could hear anything. Well, there was some people camped at the other campground making all kinds of noise.
Mm-hmm.
I had a POV camera on, just more to pick up any sounds that that might be recorded. I might be able to record if anything happened. Well, we're coming back, and since all these people were making all those noises at the other campground, I just went ahead and turned that POV off. So I didn't want to pick up all these people talking, and we had to walk past. So we're walking, and a bunch of kids came out of there, like some kind of school, class field trip camp thing, like a church camp, I guess, or something. But they start coming out of there and walking past us. So we just move out of the way, and get over by the road or off the road and onto the water there. And we're just standing there looking at the water until they pass us by. It was probably about 20 of these kids. But all of a sudden, I see these flashing lights in the sky, and I'm like, I'm turning to Jennifer, look up there. And she's like, oh, my God, what is that? She was like watching it and flashed about three times, and then it was gone. And I'm like, and she asked me, did you get that recorded? And I'm like, oh, shit, I turned the POV off. Before we got over here.
Wow.
We still can't figure out what it was, but we're both so pissed, pissed ass at me for turning it off.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want to pick up these kids talking. we don't need it on. We're just, all these kids making all these noise. That's all we're going to pick up if anything happens. Ain't nothing gonna happen right now.
Yeah.
Sure enough. Right. That kind of stuff happens. That kind of stuff happens quite often.
Yeah.
It's always when you're not prepared. when you least expect it.
Right.
Yeah.
We're down to the last 6 minutes of the show. So, you got anything coming up? I know you also do a radio show yourself.
Right. Yeah. We do East Texas Mysteries on Blog Talk, and also I'm on the co-host panel, Texas Big Thicket Watch, which we used to do it on Blog Talk, but we're changing formats. We're going to start doing that one on a live Google Plus thing from now on. And we might possibly be doing the same thing with my show as well, with the East Texas Mysteries.
You're not the only one that's probably going to be changing.
Yeah.
I've had so many problems with the different shows because I got 6 shows that run and different people host them, and we're currently in the looking to move somewhere else.
Yeah. after the incident last show, we decided we're going to. Frustrated with Blog Talk.
Yeah. Save up, Pat. We're going on.
Oh, yeah.
Do you have a website or anything that people can go to or learn more about you and your team and what y'all do?
Yeah, there's 2 websites. It's tunr.webs.com. And then TexasBigThicketWatch.com. And then you can also find me on Facebook, Brandon Garrett on Facebook. And then also Texas Unified Natural Research Facebook group and Texas Big Thicket Watch and Facebook groups.
Sweet. And, folks, if you want to meet Brandon in person and listen to him talk, he will be at the East Texas Ghost Con in Marshall, Texas in October. October 5th is the actual date of the conference. So come check him out.
Yeah. I'd be glad to see y'all there. Meet a lot of people in person.
Awesome talking to you.
Yeah, it was awesome talking to you too as well.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, a lot of fun tonight.
Enjoy your story. And, I hope that he do some threatening to him tonight. Tell him that if he doesn't get out, I'm going to come down there and kick his butt. So
I'll do that.
It might work.
Yeah.
You could always get on YouTube. You could play him one of my videos.
Cool. Yeah, see if I can get some pick up some internet signal on my phone and get on YouTube and I'll play it out there. See what happens.
Yeah, you never know. He might mimic it. He might get it on it. Get some audio.
That was good. All right, Brandon. Well, thanks so much for taking come on the show with us.
Hey, it was my pleasure. Thanks for having me on. I had a lot of fun. Good time here talking to you guys.
All right. Hopefully we'll get you on again closer to conference time and see if you've gotten any cool new evidence.
Yeah, that would be good.
Yeah, you know what?
I'd like to.
Next time you come on, we need some EVPs so we can play them.
Okay. Okay.
With some audio.
Yeah. Next time I'm on, I'll be at home. That way, I have access to all that and see what I can.
Yeah.
See what I can get going for you. All right.
All right. Well, you have a good night, Brandon.
Hey, you too, Kevin.
All right.
Good night, y'all.
Good night.
Night.
All right.
Well, cool. He was nice.
Heck yeah. And he was actually out. He was out in the field. So his signal held up for majority of the show. So that was good.
Mhm. Yeah, he got in a good spot.
Yeah, and and it's somebody in my neck of the woods that I can go out and actually go hunting with. So that's going to be cool. We hook up and go find some Bigfoot.
Dude, that'll be awesome.
So good show tonight. Let's see who we got on next Tuesday so we can close this thing down. Oh, yeah, we have Kathy Nance. Talk about other. Kathy Nance of Woodlands Paranormal will be with us next week. So tune in for that tomorrow. If the Blog Talk Gods will allow a show, since Wednesday always seems to be the day something happens, tune in for Full Spectrum Radio with Matt and Dennis. And Thursday's Ghost Hunting Texas Style. And Friday is Paranormal Access Radio. So that's the lineup for the week. Tune in next Sunday on Unknown Paranormal. We have Natalie Poole from Ghost Hunters Academy. So tune in for that. And I'm done. Jody, you want to play us out?
Sure. We're going to go real old for this one.
Oh, God.
Where it began, I can't begin to knowing, but then I know it's growing strong. Wasn't the spring, and spring became the summer. Who'd have believed you'd come along? Hands touching hands, reaching out, touching me, touching you. Fill it up with only two. And when I hurt, hurting runs off my shoulders. How can I hurt when holding you? One touching more.